Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. I think that this is a good time to ask ourselves whether or not we're truly seeking the Lord, Saints. You know, in this fleeting world, which is getting ready to come to an end as we know it, the Lord Jesus told us that many men's hearts will be failing them for fear because of the things that are transpiring on the earth in this late and last final hour before Jesus comes back and destroys and removes the wicked and then establishes His kingdom reign on His planet called the earth. The earth is the Lord's. Speaking of the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Psalm chapter 24, verse 1. So it says here in the 21st chapter of Luke, beginning at verse 25 through 28, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations." Are we not already seeing distress of nations? With perplexity. So this is speaking of a state of quandary or perplexity. Sounds like it's speaking, well, obviously in this passage, in the context, to the overall population or the populace being in fear. There's distress of nations with perplexity. That's a kind of like boiling water. As it begins to get hot, it starts moving and shaking, and then it goes upward, escalates into a full boil. We kind of can look across the world with the perplexity of the distress of nations and seeing governments being toppled and so many wars working within each and every country. And then it says the sea and waves roaring. That many times in the Bible, as it appears to be the context here, the sea and the waves, that speaks of masses of people, like a sea of people, as I believe Revelation speaks about also. And we're all probably familiar with, unless you're still watching fake news, but maybe they have it too. I don't know. I don't watch it. But, you know, you got people in Europe, for example, in Italy and different nations there that are just flooding the streets and demanding that they have their freedom, etc. So that was prophesied. We're seeing that on a scale that definitely could, my guess would be, and I'm not a historian, it's never been so widespread, if you will, as we're seeing it to be now. And it's probably just going to get worse. So there's the stress of nations. That's nations is not only sovereign nations, but it's probably going to refer to ethnicities too, where Satan is trying to turn people against each other based on coming from one of the other sons of Noah. Anybody who knows Genesis, which is essential for a foundation in life, it's the study of anthropology, if you will, from God's word, knows that the whole earth was overspread by the three sons of Noah: Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Those are the three progenitors of the main races of the earth: the Shemites, or the eastern people, the Hamites, if you will, or the African continent, and then the Japheth lineage of the Europeans. Okay, so the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear. And this is not only with the lost, it's going to be with the lost for sure, for certain, and primarily because they don't have the Lord and they don't have the peace of God. The Bible says there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked, Isaiah 57:21. There is no peace, but the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9:6-7, is the only way to have true peace. peace. And even in that, we must stay anchored in the Lord, setting our affection on things above like never before, saints. It's never been more pertinent that we fight the good fight of faith daily. And that fight is you in the cross, if you will, surrendering to Christ every day, letting go and letting God, denying yourself. That is, then one of the things that pertains to and possibly primarily is that you're denying yourself the rule of your life. You're putting that into the hands of the one who made you, amen, and letting him reign on the throne of your heart. That's how life works correctly, and that's the only way. So that cross has to be at the center of our lives like never before, beloved saints. And that's not going to happen by accident. That's going to happen by a deliberate act of your will, saying, Lord, when you wake up every day, and even if it's not morning right now, you can stop this and do it yourself and get before the Lord and just start speaking the word of the cross. Scriptures like Colossians 3:3 to the Lord, raising your heart and your hands and your head to the Lord and say, Lord, I am dead. I'm dead. And my life is hid with Christ in God. I am crucified with Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I love you, Jesus, and I thank you, Lord. I ask you to increase in my life right now. Bless this life to be decreased, God. Anoint me with the oil of your Holy Ghost, Lord, to the death and burial of self, so that you reign in my heart. Amen. When we read scriptures like this, saints, in Luke 21, what a chapter. We're in the middle of this right now. I think it's still the beginning of sorrows because it's probably going to get a lot worse. And that right there should hasten us even more to the feet of Jesus and to the crucified life, beloved. Somebody, you know, I saw a video, this young brother in Christ, Rashad, I can't remember his last name at the moment, he posted it, and it was a guy standing there on a busy street somewhere. It might have been New York or something, and he just had a sign at his feet and said, things are very hard, if you need a hug. And he just stood there, this young guy, with his arms open, and if you need a hug because things are very hard, just come on up, you know, come here. And just men and women were just walking up to him. One girl just ran to him, and several young men. I mean, it just shows you that men's hearts are failing because of the lack of their relationship with Christ. Jesus told us that when he went to the streets, how many people know Jesus was a street preacher? Amen. In the end of Matthew chapter 9, Jesus had compassion. He had compassion when he saw them who had no shepherd, the lost. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Are we preaching the gospel of the kingdom? Kingdom simply means a domain, D-O-M, the last three letters of the king. His name is Jesus Christ, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Amen. God still anoints his people and does powerful things through them. And if they're really his people, they're not trying to draw attention to the sign, but the Savior. They're not building a ministry to collect a lot of money based on a few supposed miracles, if they even happened. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. What is our attitude, disposition toward those around us who don't know Christ, who haven't been brought into a relationship with Jesus? You know, it's a blessing this week that three people came to Jesus. One of them was water baptized, and two in Miami, and one here locally. And you know, God is moving on the hearts of men, and may God bless each of us to have a heart of compassion. Somebody says, man, my heart isn't full of compassion. Well, you know what? Mine isn't always either. That's probably pretty obvious. You know, what do we do from there? Do we say, okay, Lord, I got to get my life right? Well, the best thing to do is go, Lord, I ask you to just break me, just shatter me, Lord. Just, you need to please put your Holy Spirit on the hardness of my heart. Pour the oil of your Spirit and give me a heart of flesh, Lord. Take away the stony places. Jesus. Jesus wants us to be conformed to his holy image. That's our destiny right there. You know, a lot of people speaking about destiny, but they're not speaking about it, almost none of them, if any of them, in the sense of Bible truth. Your destiny, the Bible says in Romans 8:29, is to be conformed to the image of Christ. And obviously, and I believe the core image of Christ there would be the crucified Christ, because as you're dead and buried with Christ, he's raising you up and he is reigning in your life. That's when things start to get exciting right there, friends. If that ever gets a hold of you, the cross message, it's all over for the devil and all of his evil work in your life. God doesn't want us just to deal. He has something else in mind. He wants to equip us to where we're not just trying to stay afloat spiritually ourselves, but being so full of the Holy Spirit and being used powerfully of him, which the Bible says is going to be the case among the remnant in Daniel 11:32. They that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Hallelujah. Daniel 11:32. So Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Wow, that's sad. I can't imagine, as I've heard a million Christians say, I can't imagine trying to live this life without Jesus. He is so good. Amen. But we've got to stay on his lap. We got to keep our eyes on him. We have many examples in scripture of those who are his who took their eyes off of him. David did, and he fell into sin, right? I don't know. Probably none of us ever experienced that, right? Every one of us has, right? Peter took his eyes off Jesus. He was walking on the water, and then he started to sink. You see, that's just a clear picture of our lives. We got to be looking unto Jesus. We get to be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And now he's what? Raised from the dead and seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Hebrews 12:1-3. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ, the great high priest, the perfect one who shed his blood on the cross and also sprinkled it on the mercy seat in heaven. He ever lives to make intercession for those who are his. Hebrews 7:25. You see, Jesus is alive and well on the throne, on his throne next to the Father in heaven, and he lives to provide what he died to purchase. And he died to purchase you and to give you all that you need and ever will need and more in this life, to be more than a conqueror through him that loved you. Amen. Romans 8:37. So Jesus was moved with compassion. How about we just ask God to do a work in our hearts so that we're moved with compassion on those without a shepherd who faint in the way? I mean, we think we have it hard. Just think about them. Praise the Lord for those three that Jesus brought into his kingdom this week, and many more thousands, I'm sure, all over the world, all over his green earth, that he brought into his kingdom this week. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would pour your Holy Spirit afresh on our hearts, take away the stony places, and cause us to have hearts of flesh, Lord, so that we can be touched and moved with compassion on the lost and those who may look like they have it all together, Lord, but they're in trembling ruins on the inside, as are all who are without you, Lord Jesus, our Prince of Peace, our wonderful Counselor and Mighty God. We love you, and we ask you to do this in our hearts, Lord, and change our direction today, Lord. Let us be conformed to the image of Christ in the fullness of what that means, Lord, as only you know, in Jesus' name. Amen. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. How many people want to be one of those few laborers? Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And you know, the saints of all generations have prayed this, and God is answering this. And I want to encourage you to support those who are these few laborers who are set apart, called out of God to be there for people. You know, just kind of like that guy who was standing in the middle of the street in that video clip I saw earlier. That brought me to tears, man. He's just standing at first, you know, you want to say, well, that's not preaching the gospel. Well, I don't know the fullness of what they were doing, but I do know that that guy had his arms open and he had a big sign. I think it was a Christian group. The brother that posted is definitely a Christian in ministry. He's one of these few laborers. Make sure you support these people, folks. God put them as a gift in your life. In fact, there is no one more important in your life than them. Your boss isn't more important. The guy that owns your company isn't more important. That's little stuff. That's all temporary. The people God put in your life that you can call, that you can know that they're praying for for you and ask them to pray for you, and they're feeding you the Word of God. They didn't call themselves. Let me tell you by experience, no fool would ever call himself into it. God calls, and he equips, and he anoints them to be there to serve you humbly and with the Word of God, the Word of truth, the truth of the cross of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pray for them, folks. Pray for them to be sustained and established. And so when that guy was on the street opening his arms, and he just said, man, just come on. If you need a hug, man, things are hard. Just come here. Whatever that sign said, something like that. And you just really got a glimpse of how needy people are. Now, we don't see that because everybody just walks by each other every day in the way of life, you know, around us. But anybody who doesn't have Jesus, even some of us who, the people that do, that are listening to me now, are hurting. And you do have a relationship with Jesus, and you can be comforted to know, beloved, that Jesus heals the broken in heart, and he binds up their wounds. That's why he came. He told us that's why he came. Luke 4:18. So may God, we pray right now. We're not just going to read these words. Let's just stop and pray. Father, we ask you to send forth more laborers, and Lord, those around them, that they would pray for each other and be suppliers, Lord, like Obadiah was in the days when there were only a few prophets. There were only a few, and there were many false prophets in the days of Elijah. And yet you had Obadiah, Lord, as a standing memorial of the helpers of God, those who are fellow helpers of the truth, as Paul put it. Gather, you had Obadiah feeding them. He's an example to us, Father, of taking care of those you call out. And Lord, the beloved Epaphras in the Colossian church, Lord, and how he prayed for all the believers to stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Hallelujah. Colossians 4:12. In Jesus' name. Amen. So in this last day where there's so much distress of nations, beloved saints, there's perplexity and overall like fear and quandary. People in a quandary, lost, man. Their hearts are failing them for fear, and they're seeing the things they put their trust in crumble. And for looking, they're also in fear, for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. They see them coming, and they're getting worse. We're here, friends. We're here. Make no mistake. We are alive in this hour that was foretold. This is 2,000 years ago that Jesus spoke these words. For the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. Jesus is coming. And what these signs are saying is that he's coming soon. And he's going to put an end to all rebellion. Just picture this, you know, to put it in an illustration that we can better understand. Jesus made the earth. He put man on it. He created man and put him on it to have authority. Man fell, and Satan came in at that point on the wings of man's sin. And evil men and the enemy of souls himself, Satan, have been working evil since then for 6,000 years. But the close of this chapter of the earth, which will be renovated, but it's also going to exist forever, the scripture says. God is coming back. He's coming back in flaming fire, it says in 2 Thessalonians 1, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Kind of like you own a home and you go on vacation and you come back and somebody else is living in it. Well, what are you going to do? You're going to eventually, hopefully quickly, remove them from your home, right? That's what Jesus is getting ready to do on the earth. He's getting ready to rid the earth of the rebels. They're all going to the lake of fire. You know, in America, we have a special prison to incarcerate the enemies of the American people. And boy, I'm not going to talk about it much right now because this is not a political channel, or we need a whole lot more folk in Gitmo than we have right now. They're going to be quarantined into hell. All the rebels are going to be quarantined into the bowels of hell, which is going to be cast into the lake of fire. As if hell wasn't bad enough. Notice Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving, by the way, let me stop right here and say this is a whole revival of this universalism lie that God is love and ultimately he's love, so he won't send anybody to hell. He's going to, even if he does, it's only going to be temporary. All of these little emo cowards that come up with this stupidity, which is an age-old lie that man doesn't have to reap what he sows. The wages of sin is no longer still death. I mean, as if God changed. Adam and Eve found out real quick that sin separated them from God. And anybody who dies in sin, anybody, is going to be incarcerated in the bowels of eternal damnation, which Revelation 20 tells us is going to be cast into the lake of fire. That's not going to change. Their worm dieth not. That means their consciousness. The fire shall never be quenched. It's eternal destruction. But wait, brother, destruction means that they're going to be done away with, annihilated. No, it doesn't. You got to read scripture, the whole of it. Notice that term right there in 2 Thessalonians 1:8, I believe it is, eternal destruction. See, destruction is eternal. No need to go to the Greek. It tells you right there in our own language. If it's eternal, that means it's not going to end. So be careful. We need to preach hell and preach it hot, and that everyone who dies in sin is going there. Everyone, without exception. Even if you were saved in the past. In fact, your suffering there is going to be worse than if you had never known the way of righteousness. According to 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22, your punishment is going to be much more sore, because that means more severe and worse, if you depart from the Lord, because it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hebrews chapter 10. The Bible tells us here who's going to the lake of fire. By the way, we have an absolutely explosive cache, C-A-C-H-E, or category, on safeguardyoursoul.com/hell. Now, if you're not ready to get real with the truth, don't even bother going to safeguardyoursoul.com/hell. Don't even bother. Just stay in your delusion if that's what you're going to decide to do. But if you are, on the contrary, a man or a woman of truth, and you're ready to get lit up with the truth on that topic, on the judgment of God upon all who die in sin, go to safeguardyoursoul.com/hell. By the way, before we finish reading this and close this message, I want to encourage every one of you to visit the store page on safeguardyoursoul.com, and also the donation page. That's a well-needed, and that needs a little more traffic, if you know what I mean. And that's your opportunity to do what Jesus commanded you to do, and that's lay up treasure in heaven. Also, on that page, safeguardyoursoul.com/support, there's a button on mobile and desktop version. But you can give one time or monthly. There is so much that goes behind the scenes. I mean, it's just never ending. Never. The only reason why I go to sleep at night many times is because I just have to stop and go to sleep and pick it up where I left off. It's just endless, and it's a blessing because it creates a platform in this last hour where the Bible foretold of this hour where communications and technology would be increased. I believe it's Daniel 12, 3 and 4, and it also speaks there of those who lead many to righteousness and how they're going to reign forever with the Lord. So we're using that and putting verse 3 and 4 together of Daniel 12. We're going to use technology as we're doing to lead people to Jesus. You might recall not long ago, dear brother Luigi from Australia, a very prominent, strong, intelligent man, he came to Christ and sent us an email and said, man, I made peace with God. And you know, the devil was trying to play our brother. He was scheduled to be baptized as a Mormon, but he heard the gospel and the Lord saved him, all by the working of the Lord. We were just vessels, as is always the case. God brings the increase, brings people to himself. And anyway, via technology, our brother Luigi, who's now traveling his country and leading people to Jesus, he led him and some friends, or him by himself, led a couple who were Jehovah's Witnesses to Jesus recently there in Australia about a week or two ago. And that couple was in that town for the weekend at a Jehovah's Witness conference, I believe it was, something like that. And they got, and God saved them. Anyway, great things going on. I'm glad we're connected, by the way, you and I, via technology here. It's a blessing. It's by no accident. There's nothing wrong with technology. It's use and misuse of things. Get that in your spirit. Money is not evil. The love of it and the misuse of it and the hoarding of it and all other, these other things, the coveting of it, that's sin. And that those sins come out of the hearts of men, Jesus said, Mark 7, 20 through 23. All sin comes out of the heart of men. The heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. Don't ever forget that. We've got a great category, safeguardyoursoul.com/heart. That right there is a game changer, my friends, a game changer. By the way, if you want to look at a post we have, I believe it's got a podcast too, on technology, just put in technology. And it bounces off of, comes out of, and is established in that Daniel 12, verse 3 and 4 prophecy that in the last days knowledge would be increased. Okay, so the fearful, Revelation 21, 8, the fearful, who? The fearful, that means the cowardly, those who will not take a stand. They're ashamed and unbelieving. The Bible says the righteous are bold as a lion. They're not timid and fearful. They don't live in fear. The fearful and unbelieving, Scripture says in Hebrews 3, 12 through 14, speaks of an evil heart of unbelief. Later in the book, Hebrews 11, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. He is. He is everything. He's our Savior. He's everything we need. And he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Are you diligently seeking him? The fearful, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable. The Bible says homosexuality is an abomination. And murderers, anyone who hates another person, that includes those who won't forgive, are murderers. 1 John 3, 14 and 15. If you hate someone, you're a murderer in the eyes of a holy God. So many people that live this life that men don't see their sins. They go to church or they're good citizens of some type on the external. But God sees the evil of their hearts. And if you're lusting after somebody, by the way, you're already an adulterer. So you have no right to be out there judging other people who actually do any other manifestation of those same sins you're committing in your heart. Because you, my friend, in the eyes of a holy God, are wicked. And he's going to judge your eternal soul, and you're going to be sent to hell forever, from which you will never escape. It's a one-way trip. It's irrevocable. And the fires never shall be quenched, Mark 9, 42 through 49, and your worm will never die. That means your consciousness will never cease. So who's going to the lake of fire? The fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers and whoremongers. You know, the Bible has the word whore in it a lot of times. It's easy to flippantly use that word, but they're out of business if there's no whoremongers, gentlemen. And sorcerers, those who operate in witchcraft, mixing it with illicit concoctions of medicines to poison the bloodstreams of the people of the earth.
So what we see transpiring today is exactly what was foretold for the final hour of this age in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 8, also Revelation 18, 23, etc. Look for the word sorcerer or sorcerers or sorceries or sorcery in the King James Bible as usual.
The Bible tells us in Leviticus 17:11, the life of the flesh is in the blood. So why do you think Satan would use his filthy evil agents to poison the bloodstreams of mankind? Anybody who takes some drug or some flu shot or vaccine into their pure bloodstream is absolutely needs to get right. You need to get right. And I'm mad because I love you. And I get mad about that stuff because I wish I could have got to you before they did. But some people just won't listen. They're just going to, well, the guy on TV, he had a white coat on, so he's a doctor. So he said that it was going to help me. Yeah, right. They fooled so many dupes into taking this bioweapon from China, and now they're coming out and admitting that they knew it had evil agents in it and ingredients and that it doesn't work. When are we going to learn? You know, there's a big price, there's an eternal price to pay if you're going to walk in darkness, if you're going to reject Christ who is the light. There's a huge and never-ending price you're going to pay. And you're going to this lake of fire that this verse is speaking of right here. All of these classes of sinners, it shows they refuse to have a relationship with Christ. Because if you're in Christ, you're not living fearful. That doesn't mean you don't struggle at times, but you know where to go. You're not unbelieving. You're not an abomination. You're not living in an abominable sin. You're not a murderer. You walk in the love of God. You're not a whoremonger. You're not lusting after people. You're just praying if you're single for the right person to marry. And you're not a sorcerer. You don't partake of that stuff. Okay, that's the devil's wares. Stop it. Do not comply. Breathe fresh air like God made you to breathe. I hit the bioweapon vax, so I might as well hit the mask. Mask are for morons, guys. Has nothing to do with your health. Please explain to me how rebreathing your own CO2, your own bacteria, your own poisons, which God made to be exhaled or externalized. Creative design tells us that. Nobody needs a degree or a doctor to tell them that. How is that promoting your health? It's not. It's destroying it, just as they designed. And then you got the little virtue signaling self-righteous ones. Well, I'm wearing this mask for others. Where did Jesus tell you to tell anyone to go destroy their own health in order to help others? I'm sorry. Please show me.
I say these things because these things are the fruit of people who are walking in darkness. It doesn't matter what they claim as far as being saved. God doesn't contradict himself, and he certainly wouldn't be leading any of his children to do these things. The Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8:14.
Getting off on a soapbox there. Sorcerers, idolaters, if Christ isn't your first love, it doesn't matter what else is, it's going to be the god of self, then you're an idolater. And you're as sure for hell as if you were already there. Because God said in the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. And that you shall not make unto yourself any graven image of anything in the likeness of anything in heaven or in earth. Exodus chapter 20. And so all of these classes of sinners, and the last one is all liars. All liars. It's time to get honest, repent, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And notice verse 27 in this chapter as we bounce back and come to a close. And there shall in no wise, remember, God is telling us that he's going to quarantine, he's going to incarcerate all sinners, all who will not comply with his loving plan of salvation for their lives, where he sent his only begotten son to pay the full price for their sins, are going to live in this place that he created in his universe called hell, which is going to be cast into the lake of fire, because he's going to have peace. He's the Prince of Peace, and the Bible tells us he's going to rule in peace. The government is upon his shoulders. He's the Prince of Peace, book of Isaiah, and he's going to rule in peace. And in order to do that, what do you got to do? You got to get the rebels out. No different than in your house. If somebody is not complying with your orders because you're the head of the house and what's your desires, they're going to have to be ousted. In America, when we got hardened criminals of the worst kind or any kind, we incarcerate them. We put them behind bars in a big building that's very much a fortress, so they can't get out. Why? Because they've shown themselves to be unable to refuse to live in peace with their fellow man. Let me ask you something. Are you going to let somebody into your house? Is Jesus, the Holy Son of God, going to let anybody into his holy heaven, into his new Jerusalem, that's not somebody that's a peaceful person? No, not at all. Are you going to do that, sir? You're going to invite some child molester into your home or some guy that's not right? No, of course not. Why not? Because you got to have peace in that home, and your just natural affections for your children and wife tell you you're going to protect them, right? So why is it hard to believe Jesus is going to separate these people and get them out of everybody's way so that there's nothing but peace on the earth? Why is that hard to believe, folks? They reap what they sow. They chose that path. He didn't choose it for them. Nobody else but them. They did it to themselves. They dug their own pit. And there shall in no wise, not even one, there'll be no Jezebel, there'll be no Judaizer, there'll be no fornicator, adulterer, liar, murderer, person that hates and doesn't forgive, doesn't walk in love, etc. None in glory. There shall in no wise, not one, enter into it anything that defileth. What defiles? Sins. Sin defiles you. The wages of sin is death. Neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. Men's hearts are failing them for fear, saints, because of the things that are coming on the earth. But lift up your heads and look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. There's so many places we could go from here. I'll have to do them in another message. But suffice it to say that the Bible tells us to lift up our heads and look up, for our redemption draws nigh. In fact, it says, you who are troubled, Paul wrote, rest with us. Rest, he told the Thessalonians. And I keep referring back to this chapter as the Holy Spirit would have it. 2 Thessalonians 1. I want you to read 2 Thessalonians. It's only 3 chapters. Man, that's amazing. In chapter 1, verse 7, you who are troubled, because they were suffering a lot of things that we just read about here in Luke 21, a lot of distress, a lot of persecution around them, a lot of strife and violence against believers. You who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven. Oh, he's coming. He is coming, saints. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, with his mighty angels. How's he coming back? Is it going to be as a lamb? That sounds like it's going to be more like a lion. In flaming fire, taking vengeance, Some people want to act like God won't take vengeance. That would be to say that God's not holy and he's not just. You are a heretic. They want to go to see that God is love. Yeah, he's also just, and he's going to take vengeance on every evil doer. In flaming fire. In fact, the Bible says God is known by the judgment that he executes, and he's going to turn all rebels into hell. Psalm 9, 16 and 17. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, get this picture, in flaming fire. To do what? Taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished. What? God's going to punish them? I thought God was a God of love. He is. He loves his own people so much that are going to be with him that he's going to have nothing to do with these evildoers who want to disturb the peace of it. So why do you keep evildoers out of your house, sir? Because you love your children. You see, God is love, and therefore he's going to judge. He's going to judge those who don't walk in love. It's pretty simple. Just put common sense, first of all, most of all, most importantly, the Bible. Vengeance, right here in the Bible. Jesus is going to take vengeance on the wicked. If you don't like it, you're a rebel. Let God be true and every man a liar. The only reason why people want to make a God in their own image that's only love and isn't going to punish sinners is because they are the God of their own life, the small g God of their own life. They have not repented. And if they did repent, they've since backslidden. In flaming fire, we need preachers that preach hell, folks. Listen to me. Gentlemen, arm yourself. All of these passages we're in today that I hope you wrote down and you remember, but go to that safeguardyoursoul.com/hell category and put on your seatbelt because it's loaded. It's pretty exciting, to be honest with you. This is an exciting subject. It's exciting to me when an intruder breaks into a man's house and he kills the intruder. In fact, I'm not real happy if he doesn't. You don't like that? That man's protecting his people because he loves them. That's what love does. Love protects. And in the big picture, as we see in Scripture, right here in this little study today, we're seeing clearly that God is going to punish and put his vengeance on anybody who disturbs the peace of him and his people, his family. He's going to kill them. But unfortunately, it's going to be an eternal conscious death that they're going to suffer. Okay, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished. Punished. If you had a good dad, he punished you when you did something wrong. Who shall be punished. And these are people that just refuse to get saved and stay right with God. Anybody not teaching that you have to abide in Christ and endure to the end after you get saved is teaching another gospel. Let me tell you that right now. Once saved, always saved is an absolute heresy. It better known as eternal security or perseverance of the saints. That's total deception. That's just the way Satan gets folks that got saved to be fall away and then go to hell, just like he did in the Garden of Eden when he told the man and the woman that they would not surely die, that God's not going to punish them for their sin. They found out real quick he was, because there was no sin until they sinned, and they were ushered out, kicked out of his presence. The wages of sin is death. Death means separation. And if you die in sin, having refused to be washed in the blood of Jesus and comply with God, you got a Bible. It's all there for you. Then you, my friend, are going to be vanquished into the bowels of eternal damnation, which will be later cast into the lake of fire. They're going to be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. Notice they're going to be separated from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he shall come to be glorified in his saints. Oh, man, I am seeing this clearer than ever. Look at this. He's going to be glorified in his saints. He's going to have all of his babies in the living room gathered around him. Yet, you know, if you're a parent, you know that there's no better feeling. There's nothing more blessed to be in your sovereign dwelling place, your home, your apartment, wherever you live, and have your wife, sir, and have your babies gathered around you. That's what's coming. He's going to punish the wicked, put them in hell, which will be cast into lake fire, and he's going to come to be glorified in his saints. Now, you're telling me you're going to let an intruder violate and defile that beautiful setting of you and your family all together? No. The men of the house are going to rise up and take down anybody who dares disturb the peace of that home, right? That's what we're seeing right here as a picture. A parable is an illustration. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And these things are seen in how God created a man and a woman to be together. That's a picture of Christ and his bride. And you don't think a man, a real man, is going to protect his wife? He sure will, even to his death. What about the great bridegroom of heaven, Jesus Christ? You better believe it. He's going to kill or separate, put into eternal separation. That's death. Separation. Death means separation. All rebels, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, so that he and his saints are going to dwell in peace in the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21, and to be admired of all them that believe. Because our testimony among you was believed in that day. You hear the gospel, you believe it, you obey God, you repent and be saved, and you walk with Jesus to the end of your life. Wherefore, also, he goes on to say, also, we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him according to the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's finish in the same chapter we were in. Let's just pop down to the end of it. And that would be Luke 21. And take heed, Jesus said, in light of all these things that we see coming to pass, beloved, take heed to yourselves. And take heed to yourselves, verse 34, Jesus said. Notice that the onset here. Take heed to yourself. In light of what's coming on the earth, all of this evil is erupting and coming to a culmination, coming to a head. We're to lift up our heads and look up, for our redemption draws nigh. And take heed to yourselves, verse 34. You better take personal responsibility, because there is no excuse. They are without excuse, Romans 1:20. Lest at any time your hearts, you got to keep your heart with all diligence, right? For out of it are the issues of life, Proverbs 4:23. You got to keep your heart full of the Word of God. You've got to be fasting, praying, and seeking the Lord. Saying, Jesus, not my will, but yours be done today. Fill me, Lord. Increase in me, Lord. Bless me to decrease. I choose to decrease. Take heed to yourselves. Take personal responsibility. You're accountable to God. God didn't tell you to do anything he won't give you the grace to do and the power to do. There is no excuse. Well, I'm only human. Yeah, you're going to hell if you don't repent, because your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You got to ask Jesus to take over your life, to forgive your sins, and to keep you in his grace. And he will if you comply with him. He gives you everything you need to do it. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged. That means weighed down with surfeiting or overindulgence and drunkenness and cares of this life. Just the cares of this life. And cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares. In other words, it catches you off guard. Why? Because you're not taking personal responsibility to be crucified with Christ, as we summate verse 34 here in Luke 21. You allowed your heart to be overcharged or weighed down with overeating and overindulgence, drunkenness, not only the drunkenness of alcohol, but also drunk with the world, drunk on the world, intoxicated with it and by it. Drunkenness, cares of this life. And so that day catches you off guard. It comes upon you unawares. For as a snare, that means a trap. You know how we build traps that go off so lightning quick, nobody can escape. Nothing can escape, I should say. Yeah, like a mouse trap, he has no hope to escape that. Because it, boom, we've all been warned. We've all been warned. And this whole passage and message is another warning. For as a snare, a trap shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. The return of Christ with great violence against the wicked, that God may be glorified in his church, is going to be sudden. It's going to catch people off guard like a thief in the night. Watch ye, Jesus says, verse 36, and pray always. In other words, walk, live a life of prayer. Don't just have a prayer life. Live a life of prayer. Watch it. Pray without ceasing. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. If you are not praying constantly, you have already fallen away. The good news is that you can take this as a correction, this word today, and repent and seek the Lord evermore and perpetually. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. 1 Chronicles 16:11. I would highly recommend that you memorize that. 1 Chronicles 16:11. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. All right. So watch ye therefore and pray always. You know, prayer is to the spiritual life what breathing is to the physical life. If you stop breathing physically, you die. If you stop praying, you die spiritually, period. Jesus said, watch and pray that you so that you won't enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. See, feed the spirit through prayer and the word and worship of every kind, but foundationally the word and prayer, and starve the flesh. Feed the spirit, starve the flesh. That's how the battle is won. That's the war you fight. That's the fight, the good fight of faith we began to talk about early on in this message. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy. I thought I was already worthy because I got saved. Yeah, but you got to abide in Christ. John 15:1-6. And if you don't, you're going to be cast into the fire. Verse 6, John 15. You got to endure to the end in a relationship with Jesus, like the five wise virgin believers, Matthew 25:1-13. Why do you think they got to go into eternity in the bridal chamber of eternal glory? Because they stayed with their bridegroom that they were engaged to. Your salvation initially is an engagement. You're not married yet. The marriage supper of the Lamb has not happened. It's going to happen in the New Jerusalem. Are you going to be there? Only you can decide. You're going to have to look at the Bible honestly and comply with God. Obey Him. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you, why? That you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And we started off this message reading about them, and they're happening all around us. Revelation 16:15, behold, I come as a thief. No, he didn't say he was a thief. He's given us an illustration. Like a thief. What does a thief do? He breaks into your house at 3 a.m. while you're dead asleep, right? Behold, I come as a thief. You got to be ready, gentlemen, to get upright and defend your household, your family, your babies, your wife. Behold, I come as a thief. It's going to be suddenly. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. In other words, keeps them clean. Jesus, when he saved you, gave you a white garment. Do you have any stain of sin on your garment that you need to confess as you return to the Lord in repentance? And keepeth his garments. Because Jesus is coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. One that is holy. And watch this. Without blemish, no stain of sin. The only reason why you or I have sin on our garments right now would be because we didn't confess them. Don't do it. Confess. Lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray right now that you would do a fresh work of sanctification in each of our lives, Lord. All the way down to the depth of our being, Lord. Probe, shine your light on any darkness, Lord. Give us hearts of flesh and cause us, bless us with the gift of repentance to return to you, to bring forth words of confession before you, Lord, to break up our fallow ground and sow not among thorns, that you might rain righteousness upon us. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.